To us, to each and every one of us, things we worry about seem very real. The young child, 4 years old, that's afraid of the boogeyman in the closet, doesn't want you to turn out the light because there might be something underneath the bed. Now that's silly to us, but it's real to him. We've all got boogeymen. There's all things in our lives that we worry about, that we shouldn't worry about. They're foolish. And it's a waste of God's time. The old Puritans used to believe that a tithe was not just of money, but it was of your time. So you ought to give God about 2 hours and 40 minutes a day in prayer and Bible reading. I'm not sure that we all do that, and I include myself in there. But even if it's not a requirement, it sure wouldn't hurt us. But what little time we give God in prayer and Bible reading, what percentage is that of the time that we spend worrying and listening to the enemy, listening to the devil? About 1% of the things we worry about might actually happen. But we still are not to worry about them. Worry makes us sick. Worry wastes our time. Worry dishonors God. You know, we worry in prayer sometimes. You ever done this? You ever prayed about something? Say, Lord, I just leave it in your hands. And before you've gotten off your knees, you're worrying about it again. The devil would keep us on our knees 24 hours a day. It wouldn't bother him a bit so long as we weren't really praying. We were just worrying. And sometimes we do that. We're on our knees, but we're not praying. We're worrying. Prayer is glorifying God. Prayer is worshiping God. Now you can say you're on your knees praying, but all you're doing is worrying about something. That's not prayer. Real prayer is total and complete, absolute surrender to God. Thine will be done. The Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Prayer doesn't mean that we like everything God may be doing, that we particularly want to do that. We see that in the Lord's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But prayer is an absolute surrender to whatever it is that God has for us. Worry is sin. The Bible tells us how to avoid worry. Not that we will completely do it, because we know that we don't completely do all the things that we should, that we do daily sin. But more and more, we ought to be spending our time glorifying and trusting God and wasting less time worrying. Turn with me to Daniel 3. Daniel chapter 3. That's right after Ezekiel, if you don't know where that is. Ezekiel's right after Lamentations. I think we ought to make a rule that everybody just has to use a Cambridge. What's the number on this? One of these Cambridge study Bibles, and then I just tell you what page to turn to. We would have to mess with all that. All right. Daniel 3:16. 16, 17, and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's pray. Brother Jermichael, would you pray for us? Amen. The worst problem in the world is mine. And that's the way that works. I care. I love every one of you. And I pray for all of you. And when you have specific needs, I pray specifically, daily, I pray for all of you. But I want you to know something. Problems that loom in front of my eyes are mine. And that's not necessarily wrong. That's human. We're all that way. When someone else hurts, I hurt with them. When my wife hurts, it tears me up. Our problems are the biggest problems in the world. Whatever it doesn't make any difference if you're 4 years old and your problem is that you're going to have to start school pretty soon and you're scared to death of it. It doesn't make any difference if you're 70 years old and you're facing eternity if you're saved. And you're worried about your family, how they're going to deal with it. It doesn't make any difference if it's a huge problem. It doesn't make any difference if it's cancer or if it's a little petty problem. The worst problem in your life is the worst problem in the world to you. And I understand that. And that's normal because that's what you think about. That's what you deal with every day. But we need to put our problems in perspective. The first thing that we need to do if we're going to stop worrying about things is putting our problems in perspective. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had it bad. Look at verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province. These are men accusing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, that's what the king said to him. Interesting how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That word careful means literally full of care. It doesn't worry us to answer you in this. We're not going to be worried. That's a declaration. We are not concerned when I answer you. He wanted him to know that. He said, he's basically telling him, I'm just not scared of you. We are not going to be careful, full of care in this. If it be so, if the Lord is willing, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. He said, no, I want you to understand something. God doesn't make any difference what you intend to do. It doesn't make any difference what your army can do. My God can keep me out of that fiery furnace. I'm not going to bend my knee to your gods. And if God is pleased to do so, he can keep me out of the fiery furnace. He goes on, though. You see, charismatics have it half right. God will deliver you. God will bless you. If you obey him and serve him, he will bless you. God will give you that which is good according to his will. Maybe that a Cadillac, a 2001 Fleetwood, is just not what God wants to give me. And if it's not what God wants to give me, it's not good for me, and I wouldn't want it anyway after I got it. Now, you might want it before. You might think you want it. But if it's not God's will, you won't want it after you get it. You don't want what you want. You want what God wants, even though we don't think that. Even though the flesh says, I sure would like that, you wouldn't like it if you had it, if it's not God's will. And you know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying? God can deliver me from the fiery furnace. But it doesn't make any difference if he doesn't want to. That's okay. If he doesn't want to, let's go. Open the doors up. Now, that's a little rough. I mean, that's easy to preach, but that's a little bit different when you're standing in front of the fiery furnace. When I'm standing in front of the fiery furnace, I don't want to go in. I do not particularly like trials and tribulations. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will. Now here's not just what he's able to do, but here's what he will do. Absolute fact. God will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now, what he's saying is, it may be God's will that we go into the fiery furnace. But outside of the fiery furnace, or inside of the fiery furnace, God will deliver us. He will. And that's a fact. God will never leave you alone. Amen. He will never forsake you. Right. Look with me in Philippians. They abandoned themselves to the will of God. They said, whatever God wants is okay. Philippians 4. We read, of course, in Philippians that we are to be careful for nothing. In Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God doesn't say that you can't tell him what you'd rather. Sometimes he gives us our druthers. And sometimes he doesn't give us our druthers. But if he doesn't give them to us, it's because he's got something better for for us. I've told this often. When Therese was about 3 years old, we lived in Texas for about 6 months, and there were some children that used to play out in the street on a highway. It was a fairly busy highway. It's a lot busier than Olmsted Road. And she wanted to go out and play with those children. I said no. Now, she wanted to, and she thought that's what would be good, and she wanted to go out and play with those children in the street. I said, you're not going to go out and play on the highway. Why? Because it would not have been good for her to play in the highway. And you know, we're just like that. We're just like that. We want to go out and play on the highway, and we get mad. Oh, we don't throw a fit like the little kids do. It's worse with us because we're hypocrites. We've learned to refine this thing. We get mad at God. If we do go to church, we've got a bad attitude about it. God gives us what's best for us. It goes on here, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You can have peace in the fiery furnace, and it doesn't have to make sense. I can't have peace right now. I'm all torn up. I'm all worried about this, or I'm all worried about the other thing. I can't have peace because my life is all twisted up, all turned around, and I am in the middle of it. And that's exactly where you'll find peace. This is another sermon, but I'll just mention this principle. God tells us that when we go over Jordan into the promised land, and I don't want to break anybody's heart, and don't get mad at me, and you can think this if you want to, but that there's no reason to believe that's talking about heaven. Because what happened when they went over Jordan into the promised land? They fought. Battled and battled and battled. You get to heaven, there's not going to be any battles. There will be no wicked ones to battle against. And they failed constantly in the promised land. And you won't fail in heaven. Praise the Lord, we will not fail in heaven. But you know, they went over the promised land when they obeyed God. They trusted in the Lord and they obeyed God. And in the promised land, there was victory and peace in the midst of warfare. That, my beloved, is a picture of peace and joy which passeth all understanding in the midst of Christian service. You obey God and it's going to get bad. It's a promise. Jesus Christ promised it. He didn't say, obey me and everything will be all right. You'll have no problems. He said that all that intend to live a holy and godly life shall suffer, shall promise from God persecution. It will be bad if you intend to serve God. You go over Jordan and it will be bad. They went over Jordan. What happened? Manna stopped. This is the promised land. We had it better over there. You see, you serve God and there will be a warfare. But you can have peace. You are supposed to have peace and joy in the midst of that warfare, in the midst of serving God, in the midst of the fiery furnace. And it's a peace that passeth understanding. It doesn't have to make any sense. I mean, why on earth was that idiot preacher praising God at midnight? His feet were in the stock. He was in the prison basement. His feet were in the stocks. He was probably, depending upon the time of year, in a good half a foot of mud and sludge, and not to mention the cockroaches and the rats, and his feet and his hands were in the stalk. He couldn't even shoo them away, and this idiot's praising the Lord. Far cry from the Hour of Power program, isn't it? It's a big difference. You see, he had a peace that passeth all understanding. He didn't have to make sense. God gave him peace, just like God gives us faith when he brings us to life and saves our soul. He just puts faith in us and causes us to believe. And you obey God, he'll put peace in your heart and cause you to have peace. But not if you look at the world, and not if you're going to worry about things. You just may as well throw all that out the window, because you and I pass up this peace which passeth understanding, because we're careful, full of care. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you... And, you know, if you fill your mind with what you think you're worried about, you're going to be full of care. Brother Mark will tell you that the computer people have a saying, trash in, trash out. You put the wrong stuff into a computer, it could be the best computer in the world, you're going to get junk out, the wrong stuff out. You put the right things into the computer, it'll give you the answer. You put trash into your mind and fill your thoughts with doubts, with worries, with concerns, that's what you'll be absorbed with. You fill your mind with whatsoever things are true and honest and pure and lovely and of good report, virtue. And you'll be able to enjoy peace which passeth understanding. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Careful in this sense, not being full of care, but careful to do something, doing it carefully. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now that starts small, learning that. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had learned something about that. They were content. They said, now look, I'm not worried about this. I know you've got that fiery furnace, and I believe you when you say you intend to throw me in there, but I'm not worried about it. You see, God is able to keep me out of that fiery furnace if it's his will. And if it's not his will, I'm still not going to bow down to your gods. He will deliver me out of your hand one way or the other, even if it's through death. And he wasn't worried about it. Did he want to die? No. I'm sure they were all three just as much human beings like you and I. And surely they did not want to die. And surely they did not want to die through the fiery furnace. But he said, whatever God does is okay. That's much more a matter of being resolved to God. Abandoned to God than it is working this deal out in your mind. Well, let me see, I think we've got this plan, and I think we've got this plan. I think we've got all the bases covered, and I really believe this is going to work out, because we think we've got it all worked out. And that's the best way to fail. The best way to succeed, either way, no matter what happens, you win, is if you just say, God, whatever your will is, give me peace in it. Let me glorify you. And be resolved, abandoned to it. The unsaved world watches how we react. They watch us when we have problems. Sadly, often, they come to the conclusion that there's absolutely no difference between them and us. Because when things go wrong, they have the Christians they see react the same way they do. When things go wrong, the Christians that they're around despair immediately. What hope have these people got? What's the matter with them? That's a bad testimony. A Christian testimony is abandonment to God, trusting in God. When things go bad, they don't despair. Christians should not despair. When things go bad, they are not full of care, but they readily enjoy, because it's there for us if we will trust God. They readily enjoy a peace which passeth all understanding. And you know what it says in what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3. Let's turn there. 1 Peter 3, Peter wrote that they're watching us and how we react either glorifies or dishonors God. And when we react like Christians, trusting the Lord, we're a good testimony. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, why would they ask you? That fellow that works next to you, if he sees you immediately despairing every time you have a problem, is he going to ask you, I want to know all about the hope you've got. There's something different about you. No. But when things go wrong and everybody else is panicking, and you, not because you feel good about it, not because you don't want to worry, but you simply willingly abandon yourself to the will of God, knowing He is God, He knows all about it, and prayerfully trust Him, people are going to say, there's something different about you. What is it? I mean, are you stupid? Don't you realize that we've got hard times? What's wrong with you? Are you dumb? Are you touched? Don't you realize this is bad? I'm sure that's what they thought at first about Paul and Silas. What's the matter with those two idiots? Oh, they must be crazy. But you see, they were careful for nothing. In the midst of the fiery furnace, they abandoned themselves to the will of God, knowing that what He does is good. They did the best they could to glorify Him, to do what's right, and they trusted Him for the results. Blind faith is not the right term. And we'll get to that in a second. First of all, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had the right attitude towards God's deliverance. He will deliver me. Now, I would rather, and you notice they started out with, He is able to keep me out of the fiery furnace. I mean, when I pray, and it's not wrong, I think we all do this, Lord, I'd really like it like this. I mean, it seems to me this would be good. And I definitely don't want that. And that's not wrong. If we say, but thine will be done. Because the Lord said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. As perfect, holy man, Jesus prayed, if it be your will, if it be possible. But if not, not mine, but thine will be done. Jesus, the man, prayed that prayer. That's a good prayer for us when we have hard times. Lord, I really don't want this. But not mine will, thine be done. Because your will is going to be good. They started out with, my God is able to deliver me from the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't, but if not, he will deliver me out of your hand. You will not win. God will deliver me. He will protect me. And I'm going to trust him. Not because I've got big faith. Not because, I mean, Paul and Silas were just men. They were made of flesh just like you and I. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also. They were just determined in their hearts. Whatever God does is okay. Now, that's not easy. But we can start small. Little things in our lives come up. We talk about, you know, the fiery furnace, and we get mad if somebody doesn't move off from a stoplight fast enough. We want to honk at them. Matter of that idiot up there. It's been green 2 seconds. I know you've never felt like that. I guess I'm just telling myself. You know, I know, but that's not even hard times. I mean, that's a hard second and a half. We need to start being able to deal with things like that, shouldn't we? You know, I have tried to pray now when I've left, and I've done everything as good as I could. I've left plenty of time to get somewhere, time to get there early. Everything should go right. And then somebody up there does something wrong, and who knows how long we're going to sit here. And, you know, I've tried to say, Lord, I'm going to get there exactly when you want me to. I've done my best to do what's right and get there on time. And I don't have any control of this deal anyway. And I can do one of two things. I can sin against you, or I can trust you in this. And I have to take a deep breath. Say, Lord. And this is what I have to do with little things. I mean, they become real big in my eyes when they happen. Lord, I'm going to get there when you want me to be there. Just give me the strength I ask to act like a Christian. I know you all don't have those problems, but I do occasionally. You see, it's not blind faith. But we don't walk by sight, do we? People say, well, that's dumb. You just can't do that. You've got to have control of your life. If you do have control of your life, you're going to mess it up. First place, you could never get it anyway. God's still going to do his will. It just depends on whether it's going to be the easy way or the tough way. It just depends on whether it's going to be through the belly of the whale or if you're going to get on a ship and go to Nineveh. I've been in the belly of the whale. I don't get on the ship very often, but every once in a while I do. And I'll tell you, it's nicer to take a boat to Nineveh than it is to go through the belly of the whale. It's more pleasant. It's better. And I'm still going to Nineveh either way. Either way, you're going to get to Nineveh. I guarantee you that. You don't have control of your own life, but when you try to take control of your own life, you're just going to mess it up. Abandonment is the right thing to do. But you just can't do that. And the devil will tell you, well, that's foolishness. God doesn't want you to be stupid about things. You've got to have control of this deal. God wants us to use common sense and do what's right. And then trust him for everything and abandon everything to him. We do the best we can to do what's right. To do what we believe is the will of the Lord, not what we want. And then we trust him. And it's going to be successful according to his will. It'll be successful according to his will and not ours. It will be successful. It will accomplish his purpose. You can be sure of that. A fellow told me once, I believe my brother's called to preach, but he just won't listen to God. Look, if his fellow was called to preach, he'd preach. If that's what God wanted him to do, he'd do it. Now, he might do it the hard way, but he'd do it. It's not blind faith. It's walking by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by sight. And I am not concerned, or I ought not to be concerned, about what this world calls common sense. What this world calls the sensible thing to do. I'm more concerned, in fact, I need to be only, solely concerned about what God says is right. And if I will fill my mind with these things that are lovely and pure and good, and not be concerned about the cares of the world, not fill my mind with that, I'll enjoy this peace. Look at Psalm 119. You see, we do not walk blindly. We just don't walk by sight. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, not to the world, it doesn't, no. It does not make any sense to the world, but I tell you that it does make sense. We do not walk by sight, but it is still not blindly. Well, what lights our path? That should be like a beacon for us, a flashing light. What lights our path? We don't walk by sight, but we still don't walk blindly. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We don't walk by sight, but we don't walk blindly. We walk according to the word of God. Now, according to Joel Michael's watch, I need to quit. I think he said it ahead a little bit. But I'm finished. Just about. I want to go back to, just for a second, I want to go back to Daniel. I want to go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because we kind of left them in a bad position. They basically told that king, who cares? I'm going to do what God said. That's it. You don't have to even like it. It made the king mad. Made the king really, really mad. Daniel 3, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Yeah, shall suffer persecution. He was mad, and he's the king. And expect trouble when the king gets mad. And the form of his visage was changed. He liked Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego up to that point. But the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Said, fire that furnace up. These boys are going to burn. He was mad. Said, you think so? You think your God's going to deliver you out of my hand? Watch this. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were bound up in their robes, their hosen and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the fiery, in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished.
and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. That's good. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. He wasn't talking about his gods anymore, was he? He was talking about their God. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. No power. Nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like fire. Midst of the burning fiery furnace, and they didn't even smell like smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now there's the testimony. They were a testimony for Jesus Christ. And the lost saw God's deliverance. They weren't worried. And bad things did happen to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But those bad things never touched them. They didn't even smell like it. Who has sent his angel and delivered his servants and trusted in him, that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And here's the good part about this. God is able to deliver me and deliver you from the fiery furnace. You, and it happens often, you may be protected and kept from hard times. But and when hard times come, rejoice. Because I'll have you know something. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And if that's where I'm going to find my Lord, throw me in. That's all right. Jesus is there and he is waiting to deliver me. Just as soon as they throw me in. And if my Lord's in there, that's where I want him.